Hey there, I'm Steph.
And I'm Simon.
And welcome to The Food Fight, where we offer a different perspective on food culture issues around Australia and the world.
We'll talk with chefs, producers, business owners and experts to hear their stories and find out what makes them tick.
This one's another fun Small Bites episode where we talk about the small quirks and the attention to detail that we both love and hate about restaurants. Welcome to another Food Fight podcast. Hello, everyone. How are you? It's a Small Bites episode today, and we're really excited about that because we haven't done one in a while, have we?
Haven't graced the kitchen set.
Yeah, because we've got all these Melbourne podcasts that we've been releasing on a weekly basis, which have been great.
We had a little break.
Seven Melbourne podcasts in three days.
Need a fortnight off.
Yeah. But it's been great. I've been really enjoying going back and listening to some of those chats. And we've got more on the way. Also like got a few more cool ones lined up. We had a chat with Wes Lambert the other day up in Sydney from Hotel and Catering Australia. Plenty more exciting things to come, Simon. It's all
just
happening.
Chats all around.
Stay tuned. But you know, we like doing these Small Bites episodes, so why not, eh? Let's keep the ball rolling just to have a bit of fun. And I must appreciate the beautiful pawpaws that we've got here today as well. Talk about the beautiful fruit bowl that's in front of us.
Pretty good array of fruit.
Nice array.
Yeah. It'll sit there and just slowly decompose.
Yeah, exactly. It's beautiful. The thing that we were going to talk about today is like, firstly, do you want to just tell us quickly? Let's do a quick update for the fans out there about what we've been up to, and most noteworthy of which is you recently did a demo down at the Naruma Oyster Festival and got involved down there.
Yeah, getting asked to do things like this now.
Yeah.
Especially the podcast fame.
Yeah, podcast fame.
Yeah.
Everyone realises that you know how to talk and you're not going to yell at people and abuse people.
And I just say yes to everything as well.
And you say yes
not
to everything.
Quite low maintenance. I'm like, yeah, I'll cook.
You cook. Yeah, you are low maintenance.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It was pretty good. It was underestimating. It was excellent. It was really good. Really, really amazing festival. And cool little lineup of chefs. It was me, Mark Glenn from Pialigio Estate. He did teach me how to say it. Still probably fucking it up.
That's right.
And then Jordan Toft from Merivale and Sean Connolly from Many Restaurants.
Many Restaurants.
OG chef.
And you met up with John Sussman as well.
John Sussman was there, yeah. So we had a good little jolly and a good little laugh. There was lots of dinners and stuff put on for some VIPs and us chefs and other industry people. So there was food and booze and lots of oysters. So really cool oyster tour right across the inlet, eating oysters fresh from the water.
Yeah.
So it was pretty special. Didn't want to tell them that I'm not that big a fan of oysters. So I just kept slurping them down, being like, oh, fuck, I've done eight now. Like, it's probably the most oysters I've ever had in one go.
Yeah.
And I'm still just like, nah.
No, it's good. It's good.
Probably won't be invited back next year now.
Lots going on down in the room there, eh?
Yeah, Merivale bought up a couple
Merivale
of places.
Merivale bought a lot of sports.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Holler at us, Justin. We want to talk to you. Why not?
Yeah, so met some real cool people, had some fun times, did a demo, set a pan on fire mid-demo.
Nice.
So it was good because I thought it's on like bottled gas. So I'm like, right, I need to cook a steak. I'm just going to get that on now, get it nice and hot. Because it might not have much power, so I just left it on, and as soon as I put my oil in, I was like, "Ooh!" But I was like, "All right, I can either just let that cool down and try and fill the time, or I can just go in." So I'm like, "I'm just gonna go in." So put my two, I put one of the steaks in, and just went up.
The whole thing caught on fire.
So played it cool. So I said, "So guys, I want to show you. If you do set fire to a pan, this is how you fix it."
Yeah.
So I put a pan on top. Which like took about minutes to put out. By the time I'd pulled off and it wasn't on fire anymore, I'd perfectly seared one side.
Really?
So I had to put my second steak in. My timers were all off.
Wow.
It was fun.
There you go. Maybe you come up with a new steak searing technique.
Well, yeah, just set fucking
stuff on fire. And
But yeah, played off pretty cool.
Played it cool.
I'm used to rolling the punches. I got a heckler. Somebody heckled me.
Yeah, good. I would have heckled you.
He said, "Don't be embarrassed." And or something like that. And I said, "I'm not embarrassed. This happens all the time. You guys just normally aren't sitting in front of me."
Yeah.
So everyone thought I handled that quite well.
Yeah, I think so too.
So
nice work.
Pushed on.
Maybe we should do a live podcast and See how we handle hecklers and things like that. Would you come to a live podcast?
Yeah, maybe. Do you want to sit on my lounge whilst we do a small
Yeah, bite? You can just sit there and do it. Yeah.
I mean, you can fit about seven people.
No, we should
lounge.
Do it. We could. We have been in discussions with some people about doing some live events and things like that. And going around Wollongong. Yeah. Be interesting.
We should do more. They're fun.
I don't really have much to report on. I've just... I produce another podcast now. It's called Uncomfortable Conversations. Go listen to it. It's not my podcast. It's another person's podcast, an ABC broadcaster named Josh Epps, which is it's a cool podcast. So, you know, continuing to broaden my horizons in the world of broadcast media, still presenting radio down at 2SER in Sydney and I don't know.
Yeah, just tune in for some morning tunes.
Yeah, it's good fun. But
just morning, you're on. What are you doing? You're doing 10 till midday.
Nine till midday. But I've been filling in mostly. So my sort of which day sort of has been changing week to week a little bit. Yeah. So it was yesterday, which is a Wednesday, and then it's been Thursday a few weeks. Anyway, it's fun. 2ser.com. Become a subscriber. Anyway, let's talk about food, Simon, because there's some fun stuff to talk about today. I was mentioning to Simon, and it's something that I always think about, but like there are so many little quirks and interesting little things that restaurateurs and owners and chefs and whatever front of house managers, whoever makes the decisions in hospitality venues, have to think about. And it's all around finding like things that provide cool little service elements to guests, also providing different sort of ways of solving problems to practical things that are sort of creative and interesting, and items of sort of like attention to detail. So we'll refer to these things that I'm talking about as quirks, and we'll sort of like talk about them and about what we like and what we don't like. And so to start off with, and I'm going to have to place the caveat on it that COVID times throws this out the window because
All bets are off.
All bets are off in COVID. But one of my massive pet hates and something that I just walk into a place and be like, all right, well, they're doing this. So immediately like red flag, what else is going on in this venue? But I just hate fucking laminated menus and laminated stuff. Like if there's anything laminated around, especially laminated menus that are like old and dirty and like peeling apart and stuff like that.
Laminated menu and the corners are folded up.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you laminated it so that wouldn't happen, but now you've kept it long enough that it has happened.
Yeah.
So you may as well you could use this paper.
Yeah. So that's the type of thing we're going to talk about. But like, I mean, it's pretty easy to just bitch about stupid things like laminated menus and stuff. But, and obviously everyone has to, like a lot of people are doing it now because of COVID and stuff, and you have to do it because you can wipe them and all the rest of it. But it's just these small little things that either, I don't know, contribute to an experience or take away from an experience at a venue that we're talking about.
Is it the actual lamination? Or is it the reasons behind a laminated menu? Because normally a laminated menu says to me that they don't change their menu very often.
Yeah. So to me, this is what the red flag that comes up with a laminated menu for me. Number one, they are very aesthetically unappealing.
Yeah.
And that to me says that the person making the decisions on what the menus look like isn't conscious of... like their level of attention to detail doesn't extend to them, the aesthetics of their menu, which then makes me think, where else does that level of attention to detail finish in places that might be important, like where it comes to the menu or if it comes to, other aspects of sort of like functionality in a cafe or a restaurant or something like that.
So, yes, I mean, I think when I see a laminated menu, I think they don't change the menu often. So therefore, they can just print it, laminate it, and they can keep it for X amount of days. I think...
Yeah, but cafes are mostly the ones where you see laminated menus. And, like, I don't really have an expectation that a cafe is going to change their menu very frequently.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, for sure. But I think if... Depends on the venue. Because some venue... I mean, maybe I'm coming at it from a sort of pragmatic view as an... owner operator, that if you're a certain venue, you'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna laminate my menu, because I'm just going to have pissed up people spilling beer on it the whole time.
Yeah, but you've got like, there are options out there that will stop people from spilling beer on your menu that won't ruin it. Like, for example, like menus are always a hard one, right? Because it depends on the size of your venue. Like, you've got, you might have a breakfast menu and a dinner menu, or like an all-day menu and a dinner menu, and then you've got a drinks list, and then you might have some specials, or you might have like a tasting menu and a la carte menu, or you might have, you know, and then there's always the drinks list and stuff that comes with it. So like menus are something that this constant battle for proprietors to figure out what style they're going to go with and how they're going to fucking do it.
Good places, menus are talked about, looked at, and adjusted more than you'd probably ever think.
Yeah.
Like, I've spent hours and hours reformatting, changing wording, like writing a dish description and then realizing it drops down a line, and then working out how I can shorten that description so it fits in one line, whether it's left, whether it's centered, whether it's like go right, like all these things, like where to put, like can we get a, you know, dietary thing here? Can we fit like a alternate country here? Like, do we go A4? Do we go something in between? Do we go smaller? Do we like do double side? Like so many things.
There are so many things
I've wasted consider. Away hours.
Yeah.
Hours. Weeks, months on menu, menu analysis.
That's what I think that like almost like sort of higher end venues that have small menus have a bit of an advantage when it comes to their menu design, and they're frequently changing their menus because you've got like a big drinks list, a big wine list and stuff, which comes in a separate little book or folder or whatever you've chosen to do, and then you can just find some decent paper and print that day's menu.
Yeah.
And you only need one piece of paper, whether it's A4 or A5.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's those other venues that like a cafe or something like that doesn't actually have a drinks list, but you've got like smoothies and juices and tea and coffee and milkshakes and these things. But and then you've also got like maybe you've got breakfast that finishes at 10:30 and lunch, and to fit that all like compactly, nicely into one document is such a fucking challenge.
I mean, that's a quirk that I don't like, is far too many menus.
Yeah,
when you get bombarded, like too much. You've got like a stack of paper
and you've got a filing cabinet.
And you're like, right, this is the two course lunch menu. Okay. And there's option there. And there's a tasting menu. Cool. Oh, on the back of that, there's what's on there. And then you've got the a la carte menu. And then there's like a by the glass list and a by the bottle list.
Yeah.
That's like, too much.
You
slim that down.
The other, like you, as you were saying, you're like agonizing over wording, and wording is such a funny one as well. Mm. One of my, it's not a pet hate, I don't give a shit, but I find it hilarious, is when you look at a menu and it's got a bold heading that says bacon and eggs on toast, and then underneath it says eggs your way with crispy bacon and sourdough. And it's like, why did you have to put a description for bacon and eggs on toast? You could have just said
bacon, eggs on toast.
Yeah, or places that have like really over just sort of over cartoonish names for their food. So it's like if you've got a eggs Benedict or something like that, and they call it like the Benedict Cumber eggs, like, and then they've got a fucking like description of eggs Benedict underneath the Benedict Cumber eggs or whatever it is, like
yeah, names of dishes. I just saw it as a like naming dishes, or like, okay, my one for menus is adjectives on a menu, like don't put like crispy pork belly or like moist so like whatever it might be.
Moist isn't a good one to have on a menu. I've never seen moist
one, but like adjectives are for like cooking methods, like crispy potatoes, like.
It's you like, could put a cooking technique
here. Yeah, a cooking maybe. Technique, because that should tell you what it should be like. Like, if you're having to put crispy bacon, it's like, well, I'm hoping my bacon would be crispy. Like, or whatever it might be. I think, like, you should hopefully assume some knowledge. But, yeah, adjectives are normally a bad sign for me.
Yeah, they're a funny one.
Yeah.
I think that, like, it seems to be the universal format for, you know, again, like up marketplaces and stuff, where it's just it's like four words with commas in between, where it's like,
well, I think
free range duck breast.
Yeah.
I think currants.
You can go the other way where you can give like no information.
Yeah, that's something that I actually find that quite effective. I think that Pilot does that in a really effective way. Is like they've got like it just says like Barry's bread, or it says like charcoal chicken, or whatever it might be. And I actually think that that's really cool because it's like you're going to that restaurant knowing that it's a high level restaurant. Mm. And that what you're going to get is really thoughtful, like, you know, fine dining food. And then when you get the menu, it's not over the top. Like, it's just like, okay, this is what we're having. I don't really need to know that much. And when they come out, they'll probably talk about it a bit.
Yeah, I think like higher end venues, restaurants, a lot of time, which I think it was maybe where it's come from, you have a dish and it's like, well, I can put, like, for one, there's 20 things on this. There's 10 techniques that took 3 days. So if I try and write a description of that, it's just not going to work. You're not going to know what it is anyway. So I may as well just write the four main things on it and then go from there. Yeah. I like a bit of both. I like the other thing is when people put like a steak on a bed of. Or cradled by, living in a cottage with its side veg, like all these fucking weird things, why does food have to be nestled in to certain things like this? But I like a little bit of both, where it's not too sparse, it's not just like egg, back bacon, barbecue. Is that a bacon egg roll? when there's a bit of descriptor, so it might be like this cooked over coals or that rolled in this, to try and give like a bit more information. Right.
You've got to find your own balance and stuff like that. Yeah. And I think where we're talking about is like within the acceptable spectrum. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. But I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe we're snobs and we think about this too much and other people actually just want to like know everything that's on a plate. 100%. Like one of these, there's a place that I won't say the name of it, but there's a place that did something which I think was quite clever, which is like, I think that what they had in the kitchen were like two or even three different seed, like grain / like dried fruit or whatever mixes that they would scatter on like salads and brekkie and things like that. And it just made it on the menu. It made it sound like there was heaps of stuff on that dish.
Yeah,
so it'd be like a green goddess salad thing with broccolini, poached eggs, baby spinach. But then it said like pepitas, sesame seeds, flax seeds, and listed all these different like seeds and dried fruits and things like that, which would have just been like, it would have just meant when you're in the kitchen, you just go like that.
Yeah, but it's six ingredients.
So it kind of made it sound appealing.
I think one of the things we said was big menus, large menus are always a bad sign.
Yeah, huge menus.
The more dishes, just the more work, the more sheer number of moves you have to do.
Mm.
And I tell you, if you have 20 dishes, you get a table of 20 who have 20 different dishes and like you need an army of chefs to do that effectively.
Yeah.
So that's always a bad sign. But you can expand your menus kind of significantly by being clever, by using ingredients in different ways or reusing ingredients across different things.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might, or just the way your menu's laid out where some things can just be like on a plate. So it's not always a bad thing, but normally if you have a big menu, I think anything over like six or seven in a category, so six or seven mains, I think is normally a worry.
Because
that means you need, especially in a lower end restaurant where things are a little bit quicker, less so, but in a sort of middle, higher tier restaurant, it's a worry if it's any more than that.
Mm.
That's tough to do with the amount of chefs that you would have.
Yeah, I used to work in a place. It was a cafe. It had a steak sandwich. So it had a takeaway menu and a dine-in menu, and they were both different.
Oh, completely.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah. See, that was fucking killer.
It was, yeah. And like all the dine-in stuff was more expensive and whatever. And like people, it was just really confusing to try to get across to people. But they had like,
they had a takeaway steak
sandwich with like a couple of minute steaks on it or something like that. It was decent food, you know. And then, but then they had a dine-in steak sandwich that had a sirloin on it. And like, it was like, you know, like $6 more expensive or whatever it is. So like, instead of it being like $17 with chips to take away. It was like $26 to dine in, and people were like, "Can I just have that steak sandwich?" Like they're like, "No, that's the takeaway menu." Like, what the fuck, bro?
Yeah. Like, I think this is the last time when chefs know these things. But yeah, plenty of chef owners who try and pump out things like that. But I think a lot of times, lack of person writing the menu or running the show, lack of experience in the actual kitchen of knowing what that's like. Because, a lot of people that would just be, if you had two steak sandwiches, different steaks, you'd have to cook two steaks anyway. And it's like, well, no, because you've got different timings, and I've got to prep two steaks, and it's not like I can even just use, the end of that, whatever it is. It's so much quicker if you just have, it's just less moves. It's hard to explain to someone who hasn't been in the kitchen. The amount of moves you have to make in a kitchen, just make a massive difference. If to the point where I always say it to
movement economy.
Yeah, it's like if you have to pick this bit of salt bush every time a dish comes on because you haven't picked it before service, that's going to add maybe 20 seconds every dish. If we're serving 100 customers, that's a massive amount of time, and that's on one little job. And it's just a little extra move that you might have to make during service that makes a massive difference.
Also talking about we were talking about menus before, but how do we feel about I guess we're in the privileged position to be able to to be in this industry and be able to go out and enjoy meals and things that. But I don't know, maybe what do you think the consensus is on the public from the public when you get sat down at a venue and they're like, "Now, have you dined with us before?" And you're just well, I don't know, but I'm here we go. here we fucking go.
It's not my first radio bout.
And we're like, "No, we haven't dined with you before." Well, I'll just explain how the menu works.
So, guys, we do things a little bit different here.
Yeah. And it's just like, look, I'm reading the menu. It's got a section that says small. Yeah. It's got a section that says big. It's got a section that says snacks. I kind of can understand what those headings mean. Do you think though that we're just being dickheads and the public is we need this explanation?
I think it's definitely a weird divide between possible people or people who go out to dinner a lot, and then people who don't go out to dinner very much. Because people who go out to dinner and people hospitality, we're just used to these things. We're used to how you order a drink, how you order food in in venues, how a share menu works. But for a lot of people, they don't. They don't go out for dinner that much. It's not a thing. So when they do go out, and especially if it's not, I think most people would understand a sort of three-course setup, but maybe not everyone.
Understands a la carte. Well,
I think a lot of people have only gone to restaurants where you have a main. I think a lot of time, a three-course, the first thing that people need to remember about a three-course restaurant is it's designed for you to eat three courses.
Yeah.
For one, that's how we're going to make money, the bones of it. But also, it's we're going to make the portions, so you need three courses to be full.
Yeah, it's true.
So don't go to an a la carte restaurant, have just a main, and then complain that you left empty. Because it's just yes, you did not eat enough food.
What do you think about the, explaining how many dishes you should get and stuff?
I think that can be confusing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's almost something that I know, when we've been out for dinner like this, we've ordered a shit ton of stuff, but then also been to the way to is that enough?
Yeah.
So although we knew how to start with it, we were still checking with someone to make sure it was enough food. So I think it can be conveyed better and worse by front of house staff, and I think it can be written better and worse on a menu. I mean, it's a guide at the end of the day, but I think it's helpful for people. As someone who goes out for food often, I'm just you don't need that. And if I know how to order here, don't you worry.
Yeah,
I've got this. You feel a bit, and we are just being dickheads, really.
Are we? Yeah,
I think maybe so. We are. It's fine. Dickheads. We can be dickheads.
That's it. You're a victim of your own experience in these situations.
Exactly. So I think that's definitely one where people go to restaurants a lot.
But it's been going on for so long now. Yeah, it's like there's 10 years of explaining this shit.
I know, but still there would be a lot of people who just don't go to those restaurants. It might be their first time, and we want to make those people feel as welcome as possible. Yeah. So I think it's one of those ones, but I think you'll hear reviewers and critics and stuff bitch and moan about things like that, because they do go out to eat all the time, and they're constantly hearing, have you dined with us before? And then, okay, well, we do things a little bit different. And then they're like, just as different as the last 10 places I went.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing a share a la carte menu, which has just become the sort of new you know, tasting menu of 10, 15 years ago, really.
Yeah.
It's actually I've been thinking about it a lot recently, because we do that at Bangalay. And it's the medium between a tasting menu when you have full control and an a la carte when you give all the control to the customer. And a share menu is, okay, I basically know you're going to order most of the menu and leave a couple of things out, so I can hedge my bets as what you're going to have.
Yeah.
If I know that you're only going to have, if I put, you know, five mains on, one's a steak, and I get a table of five, I'm probably selling three steaks. Probably no one's eating the veggie one, but I'm going to have a veggie one. There's maybe one fish and one other.
Mm.
So like you can't really guess it. It's just going to be a big random array. A share menu, you kind of know they're going to share a couple of little things, and you kind of have a bit more control.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how it plays out, I guess.
But also, you don't want people to come in on a share menu and eat like three courses.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people do.
Do they?
Yeah. Like, or they'll just order mains, and then after like 15 minutes, they're like, our mains haven't arrived yet. And it's like, yes, you ordered a steak.
Yeah.
Like, that's 15 minutes to cook and 10 minutes to rest.
Yeah, it's true. That's an interesting one. Interesting point.
Mm.
Let's keep going. Let's go get off menus, and I want to talk about... Let's go off menu. And I asked for something off menu the other day, and fucking I got made fun of. I was at a cocktail bar. We won't say which one it was. It might have been in Melbourne. And I was like, have you got anything cool like that you're working on that's off menu or whatever? And they fucking made fun of me. I was like...
I think it was just bants. It was banter.
Well...
It was more...
I felt victimized, and it ruined my experience. No.
I had a great experience at the same bar, so...
No, I had a good experience too. The off-menu drink that they chose to make me was based around Fernet, which I don't know whether or not that was like an effort to be like, well, let's just make him something that there's a high chance he won't like. Like, I don't mind Fernet, whatever, it's fine.
Mm.
But it wouldn't be my number one choice of a base for a cocktail.
I mean, a lot of industry people drink Fernet.
Yeah, I don't mind Fernet. I like Amaros and things like that. Fernet's like maybe a little bit next level for me. But yeah, anyway, whatever. Don't order off menu at certain bars. Don't ask for them to make you a cool cocktail that they think is cool rather than just ordering from the menu at certain bars. That's fine.
Rule one.
Rule one.
Rule one.
Let's talk about condiments.
Let's.
Firstly, let's talk about... This is what I like. This is the stuff that I've been a big fan of seeing.
Gives you lineup.
Okay, so I went to Italian and Sons in Canberra relatively recently, and they've got this wood-fired focaccia there that is so delicious. Like, it is just like the nicest bread.
Mm.
Like, it's just so fucking yum. And they just have the olive oil is like, I think it's warmed under the heat lamps or something like that, and it's got some like just a little ramekin of olive oil with some fresh rosemary in it, high quality olive oil with some fresh rosemary in it that's heated to like heat lamp warmness.
It's not just the bread that's warm?
The bread's warm, but the olive oil is warm. Yeah,
but you've checked.
Yeah, like it might just be a factor of where they store it. It might be next to the fucking oven or next to where the heat lamps are, like on the pass. Or whatever, but just this like slight hint of rosemary in this high quality olive oil with a like wood fired focaccia that has sea salt on it is like the best thing I've ever eaten. Like it was so good, and it's just like, yeah, you can just give people ramekins of olive oil, but it's like, no, let's change the temperature of the olive oil slightly and put some rosemary in it, and that's awesome.
Small attention to detail.
Yeah,
that's what impresses me in a restaurant.
Yeah, see what they've done there.
Yeah.
And so another one that I was talking to you about before we started, when I was like pitching this idea for this this small bites, is I love it. And it's like you never see it. But they're like the unicorn, mate. They're like a unicorn. But if you ever go to a place that would serve their bread with olive oil and balsamic vinegar, if they put them in separate ramekins, mate, like you can be my friend.
I'm wondering where the putting them in the same ramekin came from, because it's not utility. It doesn't really work.
It doesn't work.
You end up chasing the balsamic through the olive oil.
Yeah.
And you just can't really, and then like the viscosity of the vinegar is more than the oil, so then the vinegar drips off the bread for the oil. It doesn't work. But like I've done it. Like we never really served oil with our bread, but if there was a vegan, we would do a little bit of olive oil and a little bit of pepperberry vinegar I had. And it looked lovely, drizzled through. And I was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Send it out. No good.
No good.
No good. Fucking vinegar comes back. Oil's gone.
Yeah, oil's gone. Vinegar comes back. I'll tell you what. We'll stay with this and then we'll move on to Devonshire tea. But I'll quickly mention Devonshire tea as an aside. Got some Devonshire tea when I was up in Cairns.
Yeah.
And, mate, you just got to have your cream and your jam ratios right. So there's enough to get you through your scones.
What do you mean by Devonshire tea? You mean scones, cream and jam?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's what it's called.
Is it Cornish tea? No, I wouldn't even call it tea.
It's called Devonshire tea. I'm telling you, it's called Devonshire tea. Okay, scones, cream and jam, if you want to, like if you're Welsh and you don't understand Devonshire tea.
Yeah.
Scones, cream and jam. Anyway, got it. Cream lasted for about half the scones. Jam wasn't enough.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Cream
that's,
lasted.
That's not on.
Yeah, cream lasted for like.
Was it?
Yeah, it just didn't.
Were they in little sachets or packets or was it like in a...
No. Like a double ramekin.
Okay.
One with cream in it, one with jam in it. And I see where they're coming from. Yeah. It's just... And you know what? The table next to us, same issue. Ate all their thing and I asked
it's
for cream.
Rife.
I asked for
it's
more
rife
cream. I
was
like,
the
can I please have some more? And they were like, yeah, can I have more cream for my thing too?
You are bold in asking for condiments.
Mate, I'll fucking ask.
I'll ask them. No, Steph, don't do it.
Yeah, fucking totally.
I'll hold you back sometimes.
Yeah, no, I'm totally bold in asking for condiments.
Not enough butter with your bread. Like sometimes you see it and you're eyeing up this big old... Because everyone's chopping their sourdough pretty thick.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, I know there's only this much surface area, but there is this much full density of bread. So I need to put more on that surface to meet the needs of the bread there. So it's not just about having like yes, it might be that thick, but the bread's thick now. So
do you
need the right amount.
I'm gonna sound like such a dickhead, but like, do you know what my ideal bread service is?
What?
Bread?
Yeah.
Take your pick, whatever. Give me what you got.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine. But I want a triple ramekin with balsamic, high quality extra virgin olive oil. And butter. And I want sea salt and a pepper grinder. I want all those things.
That's a bit much.
Well, as I said, like, I'm going to sound like a dickhead, right. But in an ideal world...
Are you saying we need to start seeing a bread trolley? But mainly...
bread trolleys.
But yeah, but mainly with... Like, mainly they have bread on, but you just want one bread and mainly condiments.
Yeah, look, it's completely impractical but like, that's...
Would you put the butter on...
No, I don't put it all on the same one. It's like, I'll have two pieces of bread and then I get to have one with olive oil and balsamic and one with butter. And both might have some sea salt on it and a little bit of ground pepper on it as well.
I feel like it's something that... You don't see it in this country so much. I think... Mainly wage costs too high to have this many chefs. But in the UK, if you go to like Michelin star restaurants, they will have multiple breads, like three or four, even five different types of bread.
Yeah.
And then even like different butter. I think I've seen some restaurant, I can't remember what it is, and they have like three little individual rolls and be like a whole meal and this and that one.
Yep.
And then three different condiments with it.
Yeah.
I'll find it. We'll go there.
Yeah.
We'll go.
You can still find them.
Your dream. You can still find them.
Italian restaurant.
Mm.
Chili oil. I love chili oil on my pizza. And if it's like easily accessible where I'm dining, if it's on my table, if it's nearby or whatever, it's awesome. Most of the time, they've got it, they don't mind giving it to you.
If I see a restaurant with too many condiments on the table, it's a bit of a flag for me.
Yeah, but like, I mean, realistically, in an Italian restaurant, you're only going to have salt, pepper and maybe chili oil.
But even then, like, I'm just thinking like, that's... Is that I think it's a little red flag.
You reckon?
Yeah. Like, because it's just busy and it's like how often they change them and like if they're just sitting there, like is there much care about them? Like have the, this is why I'd rather.
But what about asking? Like, would you ask?
No, never.
Yeah,
no.
But you don't want chili on your pizza, do you? Or do you?
I mean, I know there's this rumor going around on the Instagram DMs that I have a sensitive palate. That I find bechamel spicy.
Someone's going to send us some chili oil.
So yeah, that'd be a laugh.
We got our first Insta DM that's like, send you some chili
some
oil.
Some hot sauce. Is it oil? It's sauce, isn't it?
Chili oil.
Is it oil?
Yeah,
oil. Yeah, right.
Anyway, we'll test it out.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
I don't know, man. Like, I just really like chili oil on my pizza. And if you don't have it, if you're in an Italian restaurant and you don't have it, then I'll mark you down. Mm. But, we sound like such dickheads, don't we?
This is a whole dickhead podcast. But
yeah,
it's fine.
Okay.
People relate with this.
Yeah. Do you know what, there's a lot of really, you know, very cheap Asian restaurants out there that have, like, so many different condiments on offer that it's just like... Like when you ask for chili, like they'll tell you three or four different types of chili for you, yeah. Which is great.
I think a lot of these things, and we've sort of moved off kind of things being red flags and just what we don't and do like. I think it depends on the place. Like at a sort of a cheaper restaurant, like give me all the condiments.
Yeah, at a cafe.
Yeah, a cafe. At a higher end restaurant, I want the food to be as you want it. Hopefully that's good.
Mm.
So I'd rather in a high restaurant, I'd rather you don't offer any condiments than you offer all the condiments. That was my choice.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather go with them.
Fair enough. But also, if
everything has to be seasoned properly. Like I hate when something's under seasoned because I feel
exactly.
I hate asking for salt.
Yeah, exactly. And we've talked about this before. Yeah. And we've had this issue before. We both went out and we had some chips somewhere and there was no salt on. Like, who doesn't put salt on chips?
Well, yeah. If it was a cafe, I'd ask for salt.
Yeah.
Like if I'm in a restaurant, especially like where I might know
someone,
the people.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna ask for salt.
Yeah.
Because I'll just be like, either be like that dickhead.
There was this cafe in Canberra. It's called A Bite to Eat. I don't know if it still has it. Chifley Shops. Shout out to A Bite to Eat for all the people from Canberra. That they used to have this condiment table where like...
I've heard of this.
It was the best. And it was like... It literally had... It was like a... It was almost like attached to the waiter's station or whatever. Mm. But it was just like... It just had a sign written on a piece of paper above it that said, help yourself. And it had tomato sauce, barbecue sauce, HP sauce, Tabasco, Worcestershire sauce...
You can list them all.
Sriracha... Cholula, like all
this?
The awesome, all the awesome, like all the condiments that you'd maybe want to have on your breakfast, and it was all there, and it was help yourself. And when anyone would like, you'd watch the waiters and stuff, and when anyone would be like, "Oh, do you mind if I get some sauce?" They'd just be like, "Over there,
fucking go for
over
your
there,
life.
Go get it."
Well, I like the fact that they've gone like, they've sort of realized this, we'll call it a problem in the cafe industry, and gone, "Well, fuck it, we'll just put them all in a big table." And it's made it a thing that people come and talk about. So that's awesome.
Yeah,
like, I think it's like that's my yeah. I'd rather just like if you're gonna do condiments, do all the fucking condiments.
Yeah,
and give them a whole.
But
table.
The other thing about I wonder if like because you're talking about before about like the moves, the economy of movement in a restaurant environment, and one of those things
would
save is
heaps
like
of time for a
that's
cafe.
The thing. It's like if you. Like that's when we're talking about condiments. It's like if you can avoid a trip to the kitchen for your waiter, for your service staff, if you can avoid them doing a trip to the kitchen by having like one or two things on the table that are frequently asked for, you're saving a lot of time.
And breakfast, people at breakfast are the worst.
Yeah.
I've learned this recently.
You breakfast eaters, you.
Like everyone just wants to change everything. Like
alterations.
There'll be eggs on toast, but they'll be like, no, could I actually have eggs on one of the toasted buns that you do the bacon egg roll on?
Yeah.
And you're like, well,
and instead of the tomato chutney on the side, I'll just get a whole avocado.
Whatever. So we have avocado on toast, we have eggs on toast. People are like, well, can I get the avocado on toast, but without the avocado with the skin on. And then could you just put an egg on top of that?
Yeah.
And then I'll have the toast on the side. And you're like, You could have just picked either or, really. So breakfast people are the devil. Why I don't eat breakfast.
Yeah, me too.
That's why I stay away from them and all cafes.
But like, what, like, it's funny because I'm sort of whinging about all the options that I like. But another thing that I really do like is when you go to a place and it says no alterations on the menu.
Yeah.
I actually like that.
I respect that.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yep. Exactly. It's like... Take it or leave it. Like, I mean, you can probably ask them... Like, dietaries are different to alterations.
Yeah, I think it's like just don't change the dishes. Like, yeah. don't be like, well, can I get the eggs on toast? Because I just have one side of the sourdough toasted and the other side not toasted.
Yeah.
It's like, we're not here to cater for your whims.
Yeah.
And your specificity. Like, something about breakfast.
And that's why most cafes have, like, they've got their little sides section. You've got a side section.
But it literally fucks the kitchen for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, if the kitchen has to make... And again, like, then it comes down to these moves. That if you have to, like, you're set up to be able to go boom, 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 and you know those moves, you know them off by heart. So as soon as you get eggs on toast, you go, that one does there, that goes in there, that goes in there, and you're ready. As soon as an alteration, first you have to read a ticket and try and work out. You're like, okay, so they want...
Yeah, and the ticket's written by front of house staff, like on a ticket in really abbreviated.
Never quite works on a POS machine as well. Yeah. And literally, it stops the whole kitchen for minutes when they're getting backed up, and it makes it slower for everyone.
Yeah.
So if you're someone who's complained about the speed of breakfast, it's probably the people in front of you who have changed the menu.
Yeah.
So shout at them, not the lovely hospitality staff.
Blame them.
Yeah. You should, because it's not the staff. Sometimes it's the staff. Most of the time, it's not the staff, though.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it'll be everyone changing shit.
Yeah. I love another quirk. We'll hit on a couple more.
I do like to add more. I like to add more.
But that's what they're there for.
I wouldn't change the base elements.
Yeah.
But if I got the option, add a sausage, I'm going to add a sausage.
Yeah, exactly. Add a sausage. Add a piece of avocado. Add a hash brown.
Not avocado.
Yeah. Whatever, you don't like avocado and brekkie, but I do.
This is shit.
It's good.
I don't get it. My avocado toast menu is pretty fucking good, but it's still not that good because it's avocado. End of the day.
Avocado on toast is good. I like it.
Nah.
I don't know. I generally don't have avocado with that much other than like if I had it on toast, maybe with an egg or something like that, but that's...
Yeah. The only time I like avocado on toast is when I...
Do you like guacamole with corn chips?
Not really, no.
Really?
Because it tastes like avocado.
It's so weird.
The only time I like avocado is in sweet preparations.
Really?
Which in...
Your avocado in,
well,
dessert.
Well, that was just bloody wonderful.
Yeah, right.
It's delicious, that. But also there's... I can't remember which country it is, but this is why I did a dessert... avocado dessert at Cavo. It was one because I made such a fuss by hating smashed avocado on toast and was like, I'll do my own version of it. And then we'd done an avocado dessert with Cavo previously, and there is a country, can't remember where it is, where avocado is not a savory item.
Oh, okay.
It's a sweet thing. Same with kind of like sweet potato in America is seen as like a sweet dessert vegetable. Avocado in this country, which I can't remember, they see it as a sweet thing. So for them, putting it on savory toast would just be like, what the fuck are you doing? That's mental.
Mm.
So I think avocado is better as a sweet fruit.
Cool. Good on you. You lost me there for a second. Like, whatever, son. Mate, I reckon we should wrap it up because maybe we do another one. Maybe do a part two of this because like there's all sorts of things that we wanted to hit on.
Market fish.
Oh, yeah. We could just keep going.
Yeah, heaps.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a part two.
Okay.
Let's wrap it up. This is a small bites. We're at 45 minutes, so it's time to wrap it up.
It's a small bites. It's going to be the longest.
Let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Here's a teaser for number two.
Yeah.
Market fish. Heights of stools and seats and things like that.
Acoustics. Specials
boards, acoustics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots more to talk about when it comes to these little issues, problems, and attention to detail. we're glad you all find it so fascinating and that you're along with us for the ride. We want to hear your favorite and least favorite things about.
This is called a call to action.
So slide into our DMs on Instagram or email us at thefoodfightpodcast@gmail.com.
Ask on the back of a postcard.
Yeah. Or just talk to us in person and tell us what your favorite and least favorite things.
And like we said, we're also doing product reviews now. So
we'll be doing product reviews.
Send us your products.
We're going to be reviewing chili oil at some point.
Yeah.
So if you want to, if you want to send us the, do you know what we're going to do too? Which I haven't figured out yet, but we're gonna do a Small Bites where we review food that people sell on Facebook Marketplace. Okay, so we're going to do that soon too. So look forward to that. All right, that's the end of this Small Bites. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk soon. Hello, dear listeners. Steph here. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Food Fight. If you want to get in touch with us, it's at The Food Fight Podcast on Instagram or thefoodfightpodcast@gmail.com. We want to hear from you and we want to talk to you. Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That really helps. If you want to hit me up, it's quicksandfood.com or at quicksandfood on Instagram. And if you want to get in touch with Simon, it's simon_evans_TBD on Instagram. Thanks so much for tuning in and we'll catch you again with another episode.